Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Happy Friday, November 3rd, 2017. Yes, the end of the week is here. The weekend is near. And I really am happy that you've allowed us to be a part of your weekday afternoon right here on WKAR AM 870 94.5 FM. We are going to hit you with an entire hour of entertaining sports talk as we will preview, of course, the Michigan State football game tomorrow afternoon as the Spartans will welcome the Penn State Nittany Lions to Spartan Stadium. How about that? A noon kickoff, but for everybody out there attending that game, bring a raincoat because there is a 100% chance of rain at noon tomorrow. Noon kickoff, it should be a wet and wild game. So we're going to dissect that game when it comes to multiple areas, especially as it pertains to Heisman Trophy hopeful, Mr. Saquon Barkley. How in the world do you slow down, or can I even use this word, stop Saquon Barkley? How do you stop Agent 26? We'll try to answer that question. Don't miss that. We'll also invite not one, but two guests live here on our airwaves. We'll talk with Aaron Harris, former Michigan State men's basketball guard from 2012 to 2016. Aaron Harris, of course, he ended his senior year last year on the road at Purdue due to an ugly knee injury, has since recovered quite nicely. We all remember that emotional farewell on senior night last season, tears in the eyes of Aaron Harris, and he's been around East Lansing since then, working out, training, trying to make that professional basketball dream come true. Aaron will talk about trying to make that dream come true, and we'll also chat with Aaron about tonight's final exhibition game against Hillsdale for the Michigan State men's basketball team. And then on the back end of the show, boy, oh boy, it's going to be a fun night of high school football as a few of our local teams will be competing for a district championship. Oh boy. It is going to be a fun night. So, with that being said, we, of course, will welcome to the show Zach Berridge, WILX TV 10 sports anchor and reporter to Current Sports, as Zach will help us preview tonight's action, and we'll pinpoint a few games to watch for tonight. And, of course, we'll wrap things up with Reflection Friday. And keep it locked, because we will be giving away a pair of tickets to tonight's Michigan State men's basketball game. Find out how you can win those tickets. We make you earn them here on Current Sports. Keep it locked. We'll find out how you can win those tickets in just a moment. If you want to be a part of the show, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/currentsports. Leave us a comment there. I'll do my best to try and read it live here on the airwaves, or even tweet us at Al Martin, WKAR, or at WKAR underscore sports. But hey, you know what's next. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners. right, and we start with the Michigan State men's basketball team as they will welcome Hillsdale to the Breslin Center for its final exhibition game. Michigan State basketball exhibition season ends tonight. The Spartans last played on Sunday in Grand Rapids as they topped the Georgia Bulldogs 80-68 over in Van Andel Arena. That was behind a double-double from Miles Bridges, 21 points and 10 boards for the Big Ten Preseason Player of the Year selection. That game was played for Hurricane Relief, raised over $339,000 for the American Red Cross. What a great game for an even greater cause. These two teams tonight, Michigan State and Hillsdale, last played each other in 2011. Another exhibition game where the Spartans top Hillsdale 80-58. Tonight's matchup tips off at 7 p.m. at the Breslin Center. Again, we are giving away tickets to that game tonight. Find out how you can win. Keep your ear locked. You don't want to miss that. Want to check out some free basketball? Keep it locked right here to Current Sports. And the Michigan State women's basketball team will get their exhibition season started on Sunday. Well, I should say this is their technically second exhibition game. The first matchup was closed off to the public. But the MSU women's basketball team will get their second game of the exhibition season started Sunday as they play Lake Superior State. Redshirt senior guard Brandy Agee was named to the preseason All-Big Ten team. Agee, along with senior Taya Reimer and sophomore Taryn McCutcheon, are expected to pick up larger roles after the loss of course, Tori Jankowska last season. Jankowska graduated after last year, was drafted 9th overall in the WNBA. Then some crazy stuff happened, and now she's playing pro ball out in Poland. And as Susie Merchant, we had her on Current Sports last week, as she mentioned, he did have an exhibition game this last weekend. That was closed off, and now they will play their final exhibition game against Lake Superior State. Keep it locked to Current Sports over the weekend. We'll have a two-minute drill report from that game. We'll have a two-minute drill report from tonight's MSU men's basketball game, as well as from the Michigan State football game tomorrow. So a very busy weekend indeed for the Current Sports camp. All right, after last Sunday's triple overtime loss to Northwestern, speaking of MSU football is back in action as they host number 7 Penn State tomorrow at noon at Spartan Stadium. Penn State lost in a thrilling of a game last Saturday out in Columbus as they fell to Ohio State by 1 point, 39-38. The Nittany Lions held a 2-touchdown lead heading into the fourth quarter, but could not stop Buckeyes quarterback JT Barrett, suffering its first loss of the season for Penn State. MSU is Penn State's third straight ranked opponent, as the Spartans are ranked 24th in the new college football playoff rankings. Michigan football also in action tomorrow as they host Minnesota under the lights for a 7:30 p.m. kickoff at the Big House. The Wolverines are coming off a rebound win against Rutgers, an important win after getting blown out at Penn State the week before. The big storyline everyone's talking about is redshirt freshman quarterback Brandon Peters, who entered the game for John O'Korn last week and really impressed by throwing 124 yards and a touchdown. Not eye-popping numbers, but just looked cool and confident in the pocket and very accurate, I might add, as well. So Brandon Peters is expected to get the start tomorrow. Catch MSU men's hockey back in action for a Friday-Saturday doubleheader down in Minnesota. That will begin tonight. Also, the Michigan State women's volleyball team has been on a grueling Big Ten schedule, and it continues this past Wednesday, falling to number 1 Penn State 3-1. As we highlighted on yesterday's Current Sports, the number 9 ranked Spartans get an easier matchup tomorrow night as they head down to Evanston, Illinois to take on Northwestern. That will be an 8 p.m. start time. Kathy George's squad fell 16-6 on the year with Wednesday's loss in 9-4 in Big Ten play. But all four conference losses have come to the co-leaders of the conference, Penn State twice and Nebraska twice. Michigan State women's golf coach Stacy Slobotnick-Stoll will be inducted into the Women's Golf Coaches Association Hall of Fame in December. The organization announced that yesterday. The WGCA Hall of Fame induction ceremony will take place on December 10th in Las Vegas at Planet Hollywood Resort. It will be the second time in 6 months that Slobotnick-Stoll will be inducted into a Hall of Fame as she joined the Michigan Golf Hall of Fame back in June. Catch the Detroit Red Wings. The Red Wings fell to the Ottawa Senators last night, 3-1 out in Ottawa. The Wings fell behind 3-0, and Anthony Mantha found the
back of the net early in the third. Well, I should say early in the third period. Wasn't enough. Wings lose 3-1. Catch the Pistons and Bucks tonight. Also, we will recap high school football district championship. The slate for tonight with Zach Berger, WILX TV 10. Keep it locked to current sports. We'll have that on the back end of the show. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. You can join us via Facebook.com/current sports. Live stream is up and running. And tweet us at Al Martin, WKAR, or at WKAR_sports. Let's start the show.
Inside his own five. Barkley with a lead. Barkley with a burst. Barkley down the sideline. Saquon Barkley with the opening kick. 97 yards. Barkley brings it up. Barkley's going to get a block. McSorley in front of him. Touchdown, Nittany Lions. 36 yards.
My name, Saquon. To be completely honest, my father wanted to name me Tupac Shakur because he was in love with Tupac Shakur at that time, and my mom was not having that at all. And the name Saquon, I really, like, I remember my parents told me I was young. I really don't remember the story. I just know my middle name. I have two middle names, Quavis. My mom named me Quavis because that's just a cute name she thinks of when she sees me, I guess.
A little Charles Bradley, Ain't It a Sin. I fell in love with that track when I was watching, actually, Marvel's Luke Cage on Netflix. If you haven't checked out Luke Cage on Netflix, great, great show. Actually, and speaking of Netflix, I flew through. I got in late last night from the gym, and I actually just flew through Stranger Things Season 2. Stranger Things, my goodness. Is that show good or what? You know, I'm going to put together an Instagram post and Facebook post later on this weekend to talk about Season 2, one of the best seasons of television I've watched in a long time. Yes. Oh, it probably goes, for this year for me, it probably goes Game of Thrones, latest season of Game of Thrones is numero uno. Then I will put Stranger Things Season 2 right under that. And then I have to go probably Power, the latest season of Power, right under that. But Stranger Things Season 2, my goodness, I saw Jimmy Fallon had the kids on his show last night, and they are absolutely hilarious and very talented actors. We've got a great show in store for you guys, intermixed with Charles Bradley. You just heard a few of the calls from my man, my favorite play-by-play guy in the world of sports, Gus Johnson, who was on the call for the Ohio State and Penn State college football game last weekend. What a game that was. It was taking place the same time that Michigan State and Northwestern were going at it out in Evanston, Illinois at Ryan Field. Of course, Michigan State losing in three overtimes in that matchup. And then over in Columbus, Ohio, you had Saquon putting on the show from the very start. Michigan State, please don't kick to Saquon Barkley to start tomorrow's football game. That's all I'm saying. You don't want to dig yourself an early hole by doing something that obvious. I mean, the dude has jets. He's so good as a lateral runner, and he just has speed in the open field. Don't kick to Saquon to start the game. But the opening kickoff, Saquon takes it to the house. He had a remarkable game yet again. He is the leading front runner for the Heisman Trophy without a doubt. But Penn State ended up falling in that game. Another player who I believe deserves to be in that conversation after being criticized so much to start the college football year. How good has JT Barrett been? Quarterback for the Ohio State Buckeyes. How good has JT been these last few weeks? The dude has been in a complete zone and just silenced all of the haters. That hater rage just poured right down the drain because JT Barrett is proving everybody wrong right now. And now when you look at this matchup for Michigan State and Penn State, the big question in this game, when you have two teams coming off heartbreaking losses on Saturday of last weekend, the big question is which team will get up quicker? That's the big question. Which team gets up quicker come noon tomorrow? MSU, triple overtime loss to the Wildcats on the road. Penn State, yeah, they let that game just slip through their hands against OSU. That was a game that had college football playoff implications. And now Penn State has to root for Ohio State to lose two games in order for them to have a shot at winning back-to-back Big Ten Conference championships. So, you look at how this whole thing has panned out, you know, especially for Penn State. In that fourth quarter, I mean, what they had like a 15-point lead going into the final stanza, and they fall to Ohio State. After that one-point loss to Ohio State, I saw that Jason Kabinda, Saquon Barkley, and Trace McSorley, they all called a players-only meeting on Sunday to address what went wrong in that game. And, again, there's no specifics as to what was reported from that players-only meeting, what they talked about in that players-only meeting. But, you know, this is going to be a team that I believe is going to enter Spartan Stadium with something to prove. They really are. I don't know if we'll see a hangover effect from last week's heartbreaking loss at the hands of the Buckeyes when it comes to Penn State. I think this team has great leadership. They are led by a coach in James Franklin who's one of my favorite coaches in college football. James knows what he's doing, and I'm pretty sure he has done his best to prepare his team for this matchup. But how do you stop number 26? That's the big question, right? How do you stop Saquon Barkley? He's so good. So good. But the Spartan defense has been pretty stout this year as well. For the most part. Probably with the exception of, what, last week, right? And the game against Notre Dame. They could have been better in that game as well. But the Spartans right now are allowing an average of just 89.8 rushing yards per game. That's best in the Big Ten and fourth lowest total in the nation. Saquon, who, and you heard in that montage, as he talked with Mike Hall on the Big Ten Network, Saquon could have been named Tupac Shakur. How crazy would that have been, right? Saquon's dad, a huge fan of the hip-hop legend Tupac. But again, going back to what my point here, Saquon right now, he's averaging almost 6 yards per carry. Very impressive. And is also ranked in the top 8 in receiving yards. He averages just around about 60 yards per game. He has scored at least a touchdown in 15 consecutive games now. That's a school record and the longest active streak in football bowl subdivision. He's had at least one touchdown in the last 15 straight games. Last year, MSU, I was very surprised when prepping this for this week, but Michigan State's defense held Saquon to just 14 yards on 12 carries last year. So how did Michigan State get blown out in that game? Well, Trace McSorley. It's like pick your poison when it comes to this Penn State offense, right? When you have Trace McSorley behind center and you have Saquon Barkley in the backfield. Trace McSorley torched the MSU defense with his arm. And Trey's this year, it looks like he's just improved. He's played pretty well this season. However, I think there's hope. I do think there's hope when evaluating Agent 2-6 and trying to figure out how to stop Mr. Barkley. I don't know if there's really any way to slow down Saquon Barkley, but I will say this. It helps that Penn State, that offensive line for Penn State, isn't playing great. They really aren't. If you have a close evaluation here, Saquon Barkley had 21 carries during Penn State's 39-38 loss at Ohio State last Saturday. Get this. He lost ground on 9 of them. 21 carries. On 9 of those carries, Saquon was tackled for a loss. That means Penn State moved in the wrong direction nearly half of the time that Barkley was handed the ball. Now, I think that's a testament to that really good Ohio State defensive line. But this offensive line is one that hasn't been overly impressive. And they are a bit beaten up as well. I saw a report coming out this week that Penn State's offense has taken a major hit from a moment that happened actually in the third quarter of that game against Ohio State, when Barkley actually rolled up on left tackle Ryan Bates' left leg. Bates was down on the ground, if you guys remember watching that game. He was down on the ground in pain for a while. And now Bates is listed as questionable. Ryan Bates is a big part of that offensive line. Ryan Bates now is listed as questionable. And in that game against Ohio State, we saw Chaz Wright come in and hold down the fort as well as he could. But now Chaz Wright will possibly see a lot of action now in that position. But Ryan Bates on that offensive line, don't know if he'll play tomorrow afternoon. But pass blocking has been a recurring problem as well. Even though Trace McSorley is a very mobile and elusive quarterback, Penn State has allowed a conference high 18 sacks. 18 sacks in its 5 Big Ten games to date. If you are on that Michigan State defensive line, you have to be salivating right now, licking your chops, staring down Trace McSorley behind center. Could be a pretty interesting day for that Michigan State defensive line. Actually, the Nittany Lions have given up 70 tackles for a loss. That's a lot in their 8 games so far this season. Again, 70 tackles for loss. Which, when you look at the overall production of Saquon Barkley, that makes Saquon Barkley's production even more impressive. The fact that he's doing this behind an offensive line that isn't that great, and he's still pulling out highlight reel after highlight reel every single Saturday. My goodness, is Trace McSorley NFL ready or what? So again, the Nittany Lions, 70 tackles for loss in their 8 games so far. That's 14 more than the Michigan Wolverines, which have yielded the second most among conference teams. Wow. So there's hope, folks. You know, when talking with Michigan State football fans throughout this week, a lot of people are nervous when it comes to Saquon. I get it. But when you look closely at the trenches, Michigan State could do some things here. I really do believe that. I don't think this game is going to be a blowout. I really don't, especially with the weather prediction here. I mean, again, I'm no weatherman, but when I looked up the forecast, it's stating a 100% chance of rain. I'm sorry, Isaac. You'll probably be out there shooting with Karina Garcia, our intern. Yeah. So bring a raincoat. I'll bring some rain gear. so that's the forecast for tomorrow, man. And also, other reasons for concern when discussing MSU football, of course, the MSU offense. I mean, other than what, Bowling Green and Minnesota, the MSU offense has not put up more than 20 points. If they don't do that tomorrow, if they put up –
more than 20 points, they got a shot. But if they don't, if they put up like 17, 14, what they've been doing, you know, throughout the majority of this season, I don't know how you beat Penn State. I really don't. And I don't know if the weather, and it's the thing, I'm kind of conflicted because I think that the weather will keep, will help Michigan State and keep them in the game. But I think that Michigan State needs to pass on that Penn State defense in order for them to come out with the win. Rain makes that really tough to do. When it comes to the Nittany Lions, that offense, they have scored fewer than 30 points just once this season. And that was against Iowa. So my prediction, I'll just give it out there right now. I'm going to go with Penn State 35, Michigan State 21. That's my final score for tomorrow's game. I want to hear yours. 517-355 WKAR 517-355-9527. You know what? Why not? I want to give these tickets away because in just a moment, in about 4 minutes here, we're going to invite to the show Aaron Harris, former Michigan State men's basketball guard who ended his senior year in that horrific knee injury and season was over with, but he's working his way back. I'm excited to welcome him to the show, but I want to give away tickets to tonight's final exhibition of the Michigan State men's basketball year. We make you earn them here on Current Sports. Do we have a line open right now for callers to call in, Isaac? Just making sure.
We do, just one.
We do. We got one line open, so hey, yeah, you better be quick with it, all right? The trivia question that I want to throw out there, you got to get it right live here on the air in order for you to win two tickets to check out MSU men's basketball tonight. What trophy will be on the line tomorrow afternoon between Michigan State football and Penn State? Do you know this one, Isaac? I'm just curious.
I do not.
Yeah, they play for a trophy.
I'll admit it.
The old brass spittoon is one, you know. Yeah, you have all these interesting trophies that all of these teams play for throughout a year. Michigan State and Penn State have been playing for one the last few years. And it's one of my favorite trophies, actually, when it comes to Big Ten competition for the Michigan State football team. What is that trophy? 517. What's the name of that trophy? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That's the number to call in and take a stab at it. We do. We have a caller right now. Hey, he's quick on the draw. Quick on the draw, McGraw. We've got, who do we have, Isaac?
We have Ben right now.
We've got Ben from, where's Ben from?
East Lansing.
Ben from East Lansing is online, too. He wants to take a stab at today's trivia question. A pair of tickets to check out the Michigan State men's basketball team tonight is on the line. Ben, first off, how you doing, my man?
I'm good, Al. How about you?
I am fantastic. Well, again, I'll repeat the trivia question, and you just you give me the correct or wrong answer. Hopefully the correct answer. What trophy will be on the line tomorrow afternoon between the Michigan State football team and Penn State?
It's the Land-Grant Trophy.
You knocked it out the park, our dear friend Ben Grimes. Ben, the tickets are yours. Talk to Isaac, and we'll figure out how you can he'll let you know how you can come and pick up your tickets. But enjoy the game tonight, all right?
All right.
All right, let's hit our first break. I see you, Jason. Don't go anywhere, Jason. I see Jason is on line one. He wants to talk about a very cool PGA Tour event that he is attending. We'll talk with Jason, and we'll also welcome to the show Aaron Harris, Michigan State men's basketball player, former Michigan State men's basketball player who is trying to make his pro dreams come true. That and more. We'll be right back. To WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. If you want to be a part of the show, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. We just gave away a pair of tickets to check out the Michigan State men's basketball team tonight in the final exhibition matchup of the year. The Spartans will welcome Hillsdale to the Breslin Center for a 7 p.m. tip time. Going to be a fun night because not only do you have that going on, but when it comes to local high school football action, there are numerous high school football teams from right here in the greater Lansing area that will be competing for a district championship. You got Hazlitt at East Lansing, Langsburg versus Ithaca. That game will take place at Alma College. You got Cedar Springs at DeWitt, Pomona Westphalia at New Lothrop. I mean, just a great slate of high school football. Get out there and support the local high school football programs. There's nothing like Friday Night Lights here in Mid-Michigan, all right? Again, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's go to line one right now. We've got our dear friend Jason Fuller on the line, who actually attended a very cool event, as I know one of his buddies, Kevin McKinley, he was honored at the, of course, his Patriot Shootout family as well for Jason. He was honored at the PGA Awards banquet. Jason got a chance to go out there and really just take it all in. Jason, what's up, my man?
Not much, Al. What's going on, brother?
I'm fantastic. Well, tell us about it, man. How was it being at the PGA Awards banquet? How was that experience for you? I know you're a big golf guy.
It was really amazing to see the culmination of everything that goes on across the golf community here in America finally come together, where the guys that have meant the most in the past year, are getting recognized by their peers within the PGA.
Now, tell us about Kevin as well. Kevin McKinley, I know he's a buddy of yours. He received the 2017 Patriot Award?
He received the 2017 Patriot Award. Kevin McKinley is actually the current Michigan PGA section president. He just took that distinction here a couple weeks ago, and he's the director of ski and golf up at Treetops Resort there in Gaylord.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what the Patriot Award is, it goes to the PGA professional who embodies patriotism and shows dedication to the men and women who have served in the United States Armed Forces. Well, as you know, the event you were going to play with me in last year, but he had stuff come up because you're boss, not a big deal. Kevin has put on for the last 9 years what's called the Patriot Shootout up there at Treetops, where we raise money for the Folds of Honor Foundation, which was founded by the current PGA professional out of Oklahoma, who is also a pilot in the Oklahoma Air National Guard, Major Dan Rooney.
Mm-hmm.
And so Kevin started the Patriot Shootout, where we raise money for the Folds of Honor Foundation. And, lo and behold, found out Major Rooney actually spoke yesterday when I was on the way home down there at the PGA National meeting. And so far, there has been $44 million raised for the Folds of Honor Foundation in 10 years, and that has been able to award over 16,000 scholarships for education to spouses or children of those that have been severely wounded or those that we have lost in combat.
Absolutely amazing, Jason. You said $44
million? $44 million has been raised in 10 years.
That's remarkable. Absolutely remarkable. I know this philanthropic endeavor is very close to your heart, my man. And again, it looks like you had fun out there. Is there any cool, what's the coolest moment that you had other than, of course, the awards banquet itself and being there with your buddy who was honored, again, Kevin McKinley, who was honored with the Patriot Award? I mean, what was the coolest moment for you? I'm pretty sure. Did you get a chance to chat with any golfers?
The coolest moment? No, I did not get to go golfing. I was just down there for the night.
Mm-hmm.
But the coolest moment was at the awards when everything was said and done. I got to go up and meet legendary teacher and coach David Ledbetter.
How about that? How cool was that?
I mean, to sit with a guy who has coached 14 different world number one ranked players,
yeah,
and just shoot a conversation with him like you and I are right now, that was pretty cool.
Definitely cool. All right, Jason. Well, I appreciate you calling in and telling us about that moment. I know we had chatted a few weeks ago about that that this really cool event and you heading out there. I know you were absolutely stoked about it.
Oh, yeah.
Not every day you get a chance to attend the PGA Awards banquet, so thank you so much for sharing that.
Yeah, no, not a problem, Al. And, I will I'll inform you a little bit later about some other stuff that's going on with the Folds of Honor that I was told about this weekend that I'm getting to do. And and then I'll also be talking to you because we have our board meeting for the Battlefield Brawl here on the 13th, and I'll be in touch with you on that for getting getting us some PSA stuff going.
Always looking forward to that. Jason, thank you so much for your
time,
man.
All right, thanks a lot, Al. Be easy.
All right, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our second break. When we come back, we will get Isaac's thoughts and predictions on the Michigan State football game tomorrow as, again, the Spartans will play Penn State. I want to hear your thoughts and predictions on it, 517-355-WKAR. We will also preview tonight's Michigan State men's basketball exhibition. We are hopefully going to get Aaron Harris on the phone, a former Michigan State guard. That and more. Also a chat with Zach Barrage of WILX TV 10 as Zach will kind of preview tonight's district championship action in the world of local high school football. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. 35-21 is my prediction for tomorrow's Michigan State, well, what I know, right? But thank you. The predictions are just predictions. But for tomorrow afternoon's Michigan State and Penn State game, as the Spartans will try to get out the doghouse, just like Penn State will try to do, as both teams suffered a loss last weekend, Penn State to the Ohio State Buckeyes, Michigan State in triple overtime against the Northwestern Wildcats. Again, everybody is a bit nervous, Spartan fans are, I should say, when it comes to welcoming Saquon Barkley to Spartan Stadium. He's had a remarkable year. Now, I highlighted the offensive line woes for Penn State this season. Despite that, Saquon has been an absolute stud. Isaac Constance, engineer of WKAR's Current Sports. Isaac, when you look at this matchup for Michigan State, I don't believe there's any way to slow down Saquon. However, I'm a bit encouraged, you know, when it comes to Michigan State's chances of keeping this thing close and being competitive. I'm a bit encouraged when it comes to that point when evaluating that offensive line. They're beaten up. I talked about how, you know, a report is coming out about Ryan Bates and his left leg. Who knows if he will even play tomorrow afternoon. The weather isn't going to be great. Michigan State has a shot in this game, I think, Isaac.
Well, I'm going to give some advice, and you were talking about Stranger Things earlier. Great show. I'm not going to give away any spoilers. I have not finished it just yet. I'm five episodes through, but I'm going to give some advice from that show. Don't be stupid. And by stupid, I mean taking risk. Because against Penn State, every time Saquon Barkley touches the ball, your chances of losing go up if you're MSU. So do not kick to Saquon Barkley. That's number one. Number two, put men in the box, but also keep a contain on the sidelines because, of course, we know Saquon Barkley loves to hit the outside and turn on the jets. If you're MSU, keep an eye out for that. Number three, watch out for screens. Don't get duped by a draw or some sort of delayed play. Be up on the lookout for that because if MSU wants to stay in this game, it all comes down to bottling up Saquon Barkley. Now, interesting stat here. MSU is a top 10 defense yardage-wise in the NCAA. However, of all of those teams, MSU is the only one to have allowed over 1,500 passing yards this season. Over 100 more than any other team in the top 10. If I'm MSU, that's not necessarily bad news in this game as much as I like Trace McSorley. I think Penn State probably tries to throw on the Spartans.
Well, yeah, that's what they did last year.
Exactly.
I mean, and that's the thing. Saquon was pedestrian last year against Michigan State's defense. Again, I mentioned 14 yards on 12 carries. Trace McSorley was able to just kind of pick apart. And if you look at Clayton Thorson, what he was able to do against Michigan State this past Saturday.
He showed a chink in the armor.
Goodness.
Showed a chink in the armor of that MSU
routes,
defense.
Exactly. Those crossing routes killed Michigan State time and time again. Those small little screens killed Michigan State time and time again. I saw that Chris Fry, during his media availability this week, Chris Fry noted that they missed tackles on like 20 different attempts It was crazy, which he believed was a season high, and I would have to agree with him. I mean, there were so many missed tackles in that game, and those small dump-offs went to first downs because of missed tackles and the secondary being too far down the field, worried about giving up a big play. That can happen on Saturday. And again, I think the weather, though, again, I think the weather is going to be very important.
It's the X factor.
Exactly. That's going to alleviate, you know, Trace McSorley sitting in the pocket and going deep. And that's going to help that Michigan State defense. And it's going to really shrink the field, I believe, a lot here, Isaac.
Exactly. You got to play the run. And that's why I say that. That's why I brought up those 3 points. You got to keep Saquon Barkley out of this game and give them a window to pass. Because the thing is, right now, either way, if you're MSU, you're playing roulette. The good news is now those blank spaces are on your side because of the weather. It is not good passing weather whatsoever. So make sure that their windows come in places where they might be vulnerable themselves.
Just amazing that you look at this game, you know, just 2 years ago, Michigan State top Penn State 55-16. And then we all saw what happened the following year, Michigan State en route to a 3-9 season, just completely gets blown out against the Nittany Lions, and the Nittany Lions go on to win the Big Ten championship. Crazy what a difference a year makes, right? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. We are hoping to get on the show Aaron Harris, former Michigan State guard, to preview tonight's final exhibition matchup of the season against Hillsdale. And again, when you look at the exhibition year for Michigan State, they beat Georgia last weekend on Sunday out in Grand Rapids. The game prior to that, they play Ferris State, and Ferris State really exposes Michigan State's defensive ability in that game. But again, it's an exhibition, so it's hard to really evaluate just how locked in Michigan State was defensively in that game, because it's exhibition year. You know, it's exhibition year. No one's trying to fully exhaust themselves in an exhibition game. They're just trying to try out a few lineups, stay healthy, just get by while doing all of that and winning the game. So tonight they will welcome Hillsdale to the Breslin. I expect Michigan State to tinker with a ton of lineups. Tom Izzo is going to be trying some different things here and there, because this team will be thrown into the fire relatively early, as they, of course, you know, have teams like Duke and Notre Dame on the docket, the PK80 tournament coming up. So just enjoy some basketball tonight. That's all I'm saying. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. Right now, let's get to Zach Berich, WILX TV sports anchor and reporter. He is the co-host of the Sports Blitz, which you can catch tonight at 11:14 p.m. as Zach and his wonderful team at Channel 10 will be out at some local high school football district championship action tonight. Zach, welcome to Current Sports. How you doing?
Hey, Al. Thanks for having me back.
I know we're on limited time because your phone may die on us here, so I just want to warn our listeners out there just in case you cut out on us. But so with that being said, Zach, let's get right to it, my friend. District championship games tonight. Which games intrigue you the most, and where will you be at tonight?
I will be at Hazlitt and East Lansing. I think that's an intriguing game. You got to feel really, really good for the Vikings and Charlie Alustu. They hadn't won a postseason game in a while, and they got it done last week against Parma Western. But now they run into East Lansing, which is playing as good of a defense. I think I talked about last week, they're playing as good a defense as anybody in the area. So I really don't know who to pick in that game, but I'll be there to find out. And then obviously the other one is the big CWC White matchup going for the district title in Lansing Catholic and Portland. I would be really, really inclined to take Portland just because I think what if they won the last four or five matchups, regular season or postseason. I don't remember exactly what the number is, but I just kind of got a feeling it's one of those Lansing Catholic nights. I'm not sure why. But it'll definitely be a close game, and it should be high drama, and we're looking forward to all the good games around the area tonight.
Yeah, and you speak of Hazlitt. Hazlitt at East Lansing, and we will actually have a few reporters at that game. We're actually two of our production assistants, Jacob Herbert and Karina Garcia, covering that game while Isaac and I are holding down the fort at Michigan State men's basketball tonight. But Hazlitt, you know, they won their first playoff game in 11 years last week, and, you know, watching, you know, the emotion – on television after that matchup and just how they really are just happy to get a get one playoff win. Did you foresee that coming for Hazlitt this season, Zach?
I remember because, you know, we do our preseason previews and all that stuff. We go around, and I talked with Coach Aluski and Hiram Tibbetts. He's the junior quarterback. And I honestly can't say I thought that far ahead to the postseason, but I felt good about them. Just when you got a junior quarterback who's already been a starter for an entire year, mm-hmm. and he's done pretty good. Yeah, I think he started a little bit slow, but he's looked really, really good in the latter weeks. Hiram Tibbetts, I'm talking about their quarterback. And they've got a couple guys in the backfield that do great work, and Nate Magnuson, Ben Britton, just really versatile. They kind of run off the tackle, getting around the edge. Magnuson's also their kicker who hit the game-winning field goal against Parma Western last week. So they've got some really good skill guys. It doesn't surprise me at all, and I think it's obviously to their advantage that they did not have to face DeWitt in either the first or second round of the postseason like they usually do. So that's to their advantage. And now they've got a very winnable game in front of them with East Lansing. So, yeah, like I said, I think you just got to be really happy with a Hazlitt team who's been just dying for a postseason win for a few years. Now they got it. And, you know, either one of those teams, it'll be exciting to see either of them lift up the district championship tonight. So, you know, no rooting interest, obviously, but mm-hmm. we like both teams, and it should be a good match.
Yeah, Charlie Otluski, he seemed very relieved after Friday's win mm-hmm. last week, and we'll see if he can pull out another win against Bill Ferracco tonight. Should be a fun game. Langsburg versus Ithaca, that will happen at Alma College. First off, I'm intrigued, Zach. Are you guys sending a photog out there for that game?
I believe that's in our plans. Yeah, we can't stay up there the entire time, and
right.
If history is any indication, we won't need to be up there for too long, but. You know, who knows what's going to happen.
Yeah, very true. And, you know, when you look at this game, you know, Division VI top-ranked Ithaca is in pursuit of a ninth straight district crown. Do you see this one being a close game between the Wolfpack or not?
It's hard to say that. I don't, just because it's Ithaca and there's a reason they're going for a ninth straight district title. That being said, though, I don't think they put up the kind of points that they have been putting up on people. If you look at Langsburg's track record throughout the season and even last week, I think they won 7-0. They pitched a shutout defensively against Montrose, I believe, one of those South Flint area type schools, a little bit east of here. Mm-hmm. And they did it a couple of times during the year. I think they beat Danville 7-0, or it might have been 3-0. They're just sound defensively. And that was another team, as you know, I was high on all throughout the year talking about them. But I expected them to be a little bit better of a point production team just because of the amount of experienced guys they had back from last year, even 2 years ago. A lot of those guys, you get down to those CMAC schools, mm-hmm. and you know, a lot of those guys, most of them, I might even say, started varsity sophomore year. So, but, you know, that's true in a lot of those schools, so everyone's kind of working that way. Ithaca, I don't, you know, in my opinion, this won't be a running clock game. If they score 35, maybe 28 points, I see the somewhere around 35-7, 35-10, 28-7, something like that. But I don't think it'll be as easy for Ithaca to score on Langsburg as it has been in some of the other teams that they've seen this year.
Okay, two more games I want to touch on before we get you out of here, Zach. Cedar Springs at DeWitt. Rob Zimmerman, head coach of the Panthers, was actually the head coach at Cedar Springs before arriving at DeWitt. So I'm curious to see how this game emotionally, what kind of thoughts run through his head on the sidelines after this one is said and done. But, you know, you look at the Panthers trying to slow down a Cedar Springs squad that is averaging over 40 points a game, while DeWitt's defense has allowed just, 10.3 points per game. What do you expect in this matchup?
Yeah, as far as Coach Zimmerman, I don't think there's going to be. I mean, that was a long. What has he been at DeWitt for close to 20 years?
Yeah, he's
like
been
that.
There for
That's
a while.
Long time
right,
ago.
Right,
right. So you know, and he's as you know, professional of a coach as they come in terms of game planning. And you know, that's cool for him. I think that he's probably looking forward to that. I've never been more confident in a DeWitt team, honestly, because they just get better and better and better each week. And that was especially evident last week, doing what they did to Grand Rapids Christian. And yeah, maybe Christian wasn't as good of a team as a lot of us thought, but
that's a team that beat DeWitt in week one, 38-30.
Yeah. Right. So then they beat them by 20 something. I don't remember the exact score, but it was a 20-30 point swing from week one to the district opener.
Right.
I can't see how DeWitt lose. I'm not trying to jinx them or anything.
Right.
And I don't know anything about Cedar Springs other than what you said is they score a lot of points. And I'm a West Michigan guy, so I know that they're always a very powerful, one of those West Michigan powerful teams.
Right.
But DeWitt's playing as well as they have been. And I attribute that to, I guess you got to attribute it to the coaching and the guys doing this year after year. And it's just the system they play in. And I imagine they're pretty healthy too. So I guess I like DeWitt for no other reason than it's an impressive what they've done over the last 10 weeks.
And final game here, Zach, real briefly, Pauma, Westphalia at New Lothrop, as New Lothrop actually won the only previous meeting between the two programs. If you look at PW, Division 7 district final against top-ranked New Lothrop, which sits at 9-0 in the year. New Lothrop is averaging 46.3 points per game. The Pirates are 8-1. How do you evaluate that one?
This one I'm not too sure about, honestly, just because New Lothrop, I think they're ranked number one in division. Would that be division 7?
Mm-hmm. Division 7, yep.
Yeah, so, I don't know anything about them. I've seen Pauma Westphalia a handful of times. They look good. They look powerful like they usually do. It should be another close game. I wouldn't be surprised if it is a one-score game similar to what we saw with PW in week one against St. Mary's. But, they I don't want to sound broken record here because I feel like I tell you this every single week now that I'm – not that you don't know this, but it's Jeremy Miller's teams. They improve every week just like DeWitt, just like Portland. So I don't know much about New Lothrop. I don't even know where they are, honestly, in the state. I don't have a lot of insight on it, to be honest, but if we're talking about Pauma Westphalia, they're going to do what they always do, and they're going to smash the ball, and they're a playoff team under Jeremy Miller. PW, just they're always built for the postseason, it seems, so it's hard to doubt a team like that.
Yeah, they definitely are, and Jeremy always has his troops ready for this time of the year. All right, again, you can catch Zach on the Sports Blitz tonight, 11:14 p.m., on WILX TV 10. Is that right, Zach?
That's right. And I just want to – one other game just to keep an eye out. Maple Valley playing at Saugatuck. They won their first postseason game in a long time last week. It'll be a tough game, tough match for them. But if they win tonight, that'll be something really special for Vermontville, Maple Valley.
All right, Zach. Thanks so much. We'll be watching tonight, all right?
All right. Thanks, Hope.
Okay, well, we do have Aaron Harris. The thing is, we only got 3 minutes with him. So, Aaron Harris, he sent me a text, and he said he got caught up working out, Isaac. Yeah, that's how I am. I was at Planet Fitness last night lifting weights.
Mm-hmm.
Next thing you know, it's 3 a.m. So, I get it. Aaron Harris, former Michigan State guard, we got to have Aaron back on because there's so many things I want to touch upon from the injury to now trying to recover from that. But Aaron, first off, welcome to the show, my man.
Hey, thank you for having me, man.
Definitely. We got to get you back on. Again, we only literally have 3 minutes here, Aaron. But I want to talk about your career and what you're doing now. But I just want you to kind of give your thoughts right now on this year's Michigan State men's basketball team, because I know you've been working out with them. You've been there at the Breslin Center. You know these guys very well. Again, it's only exhibition season right now, the final exhibition matchup against Hillsdale tonight. But what are your thoughts heading into this new season for Michigan State?
Well, I mean, just like the teams that I played on here at Michigan State, they're deep. You know, they got a deep squad this year, and that's nothing new, you know, for Michigan State. But these guys are real young, you know. Tom is the only senior this year. Those guys, man, they got some good young boys that's you know, got open ears, and they're talented. They got a lot of talent, but they're very unselfish this year. And what I've been seeing from them is that they play well together. So I know that first game looked pretty close, and then the second game looked really good. But basically, you know, they just need to get out of the guys that's going to be playing in that playing group. They need to get out what they get out of them. You know, it's guys like Josh Langford, you know, playing in the mid-range, you know, hitting shots. You know, Cash is getting in the paint, you know, making something happen for other people. As long as everybody's doing their thing, you know, we're going in preseason number two right now. You know, I don't see why, you know, we shouldn't be the number one eventually. You know what I'm saying? So I see good things for this squad this year. You know, it's going to be a great, entertaining, interesting year. And I see these guys going all the way.
Aaron, I know you are, again, very close with the program still. You are around these guys on a daily basis. The chemistry from an outsider looking in like myself looks to be very, very tight. What's it like being around these guys, and exactly how tight are they?
Oh, man. I mean, they young. They like I'm a peer of theirs, basically. I mean, I'm their big brother.
Right.
But I'm a peer of theirs. You know, all these guys coming from different places around the country, you know, coming from around, you know, Michigan and different places, you know, Quay coming from Dallas. I think it's a good mixture of dudes, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, these dudes are unselfish, man. They just athletes, you know, basketball players trying to do something, make something of themselves and make this university proud, make their families proud. I mean, they're tight, you know, naturally. Like I said, it's because they unselfish people. They Coach Izzo knew what he was doing, bringing these guys in here. So it's just a natural thing.
All right. Well, Aaron, we only got a minute left, and we got to say goodbye to you. I only had time for two questions. But I tell you what, can we get you back on next week to have a full interview with you?
We could even probably, you know, get me in there. I knew you said you wanted to get
yes.
me in there.
Let's do that.
That'd be a cool experience. So
I tell you what. I know
you got to get communicate.
Yeah, and I tell you what, you're a big sports guy. How about you? You'll co-host the show with me for an hour. Can we set that up? We'll talk everything sports.
I think we can do that.
Okay, that'll be fun. Aaron Ayers will be my co-host at some point next week. We'll talk all sports with Aaron. Aaron, thanks so much, man. We'll see you next week.
All right, cool.
All right. Well, that's it. How's that sound? I think it'd be kind of fun, man.
Oh,
I know Aaron,
absolutely.
He's a big sports guy. We'll talk football with him, NFL, NBA, all that stuff. So,
and Aaron's always one of the chillest guys in the locker room.
Definitely. All right. Well, we have to bid you all adieu. We'll be back at it same time, same place on Monday, folks. Stacked weekend. Be easy, people.